Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Schoenstatt Family Branch and Adoration Group of the Corpus Christi Diocese cordially invite all families, including children, to an Epiphany celebration Friday, January 3rd, 2020, at the Schoenstatt Center, 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. Events will begin at 5:30 p.m. with a Joys of Mary ballet performance presented by ballerina instructor Chrissy Carter and company, followed by Holy Mass at 6 o'clock, then a meal and fellowship, so bring a dish to share. For complete information, call the office, 361-992-9841.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well. Yeah, kind of getting ready for Thanksgiving. And
I know.
That's kind of one of my favorite times of year and feasts.
I have a friend who's at this time of the year, she always skips forward to Christmas. I said, well, let's not forget about fall and November and Thanksgiving. It's such a beautiful season.
That's right.
Both weather-wise for us and to be thankful for all of our blessings.
I went into Lowe's the other day to get a little cactus plant. It was already Christmas two times over, so I thought, whoa, Christmas in the desert, or the desert in Christmas.
Right. It's a beautiful time of the year. Well, as I mentioned this morning, our Gospel is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is a reading from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, all that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down. They asked him, teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen? He answered, see that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. It seems that this gospel comes at a time where Jesus knows that he's coming to the end. It's right before his passion. And so this is kind of a forewarning for his followers.
Yes, and certainly the reality of the end of time, which we will all face, because we do profess that he will come again. Mm-hmm. After our consecration of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist, we say that he will come again. until he comes again. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting for that. The Christian is one who is always preparing, waiting, and participating in the life of Christ and in his mission. But we do believe, we profess that that will come, that he will come again. And so he's really setting the stage here for us in a new way of the coming, of the second coming. We could again kind of look through this. The backdrop of all of this is the temple, mm-hmm. the beautiful temple, and costly stones, it says, votive offerings. But there's going to be a time when not a stone will be left upon another stone. The material world that we live in is for our purpose to build, to create, and to do so in a beautiful way, and even beautiful churches, the temple, etc., for the Jewish people. But we have to remember that these are things that serve us, that mm-hmm. that we can use for worshiping God, gathering, etc. But they are material things. And that the sacred purpose within a building such as the temple, a synagogue, a church, a mosque, those things are for us to gather and give glory to God, to the Creator. They themselves, as a building, of course, will, as Jesus says here, will collapse.
Right.
The spirit with which we pray is what will endure. And, of course, then when he speaks, I jumped ahead a little bit, but when he speaks of the temple and that not a stone will be left upon the other, of course, the people listening to him, when is this going to happen? You know, should I go home now? Should I get things ready tomorrow? When is this going to happen? It's a curiosity that all of us have, and how many times have we seen people rushing to different parts of our country because the end is coming and they don't want to be caught in the middle of it. But you know, Jesus says something very important, and I would say to all of us today, do not be deceived. We are people that we latch on to anything that looks good, anything that makes sense, but there's so much today that is in front of us that's enticing, that's attractive, and sometimes scary, but we're deceived. We're distracted, I would say, from the real truth. People will say, I'm the one that's coming to, and we've seen this too, people following a certain personality, mm-hmm. and it happens even today in our own churches throughout the world. We follow a personality, we're being deceived. We follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We follow him and his word, which is transmitted to us by those who faithfully proclaim his word. But don't follow the false message. Don't follow the false claims. Don't follow the fantasies that are presented to us. We need to stay firm. In the next part, then he says, you'll hear about, in the midst of all this deception, you're going to hear about wars, insurrections, but it's not the end. They're going to proclaim earthquakes, famines, plagues, and all these kind of things, these mighty signs in the sky, but it's not the time. Don't run after these kinds of messages. But then he does tell us what is going to happen before all of this happens. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're going to be seized and persecuted. So it's not a happy message.
No, that's not joyful at all.
They'll hand you over to the synagogues and to the prisons, and they will have you led to kings and governors because of me. All of that will happen, and it's happening today with the lack of security for us as people of faith, and I'm speaking of all faiths, mm-hmm. and especially I would say as a Catholic bishop in the Catholic Church, we're experiencing it quite a bit, and I think the other denominations and religions can speak of it too, but religious liberty is at stake here. We're being hauled in front of people in courts and kings. We're being put in prison because we preach something that does not resonate with the material world alone. We, again, are in the world, but we're not of the world. And when groups of us want to become in the world and of the world, we who are men and women of faith, who hear the word of God, which is an eternal word, which is not a human word, we're going to be persecuted. And it's happening. Mm-hmm. And it gets worse and worse each day when you listen to all the mm-hmm. the debates that are going on now. So we have to be careful. Do we join the other side in the sense of we blend in so we're not persecuted? Or do we stand up for what we believe in? The next sentence, I think, really tells us the destiny. You will be led to give testimony. Mm-hmm. What is the word when the times get rough, the tough get going?
Right.
It's a time of testimony. We are experiencing, as we've said several times, shameful difficulties in the Catholic Church. People have been hurt, and it's Catholic for us, but I think everybody can apply it to their own, whether it's schools, other denominations. But this is not a time for us to run. It's not a time for us to buckle. These are the wars, the insurrections, the earthquakes, the famines that are happening. But it's a time for us to give testimony, which means, first of all, I look in myself. Do I believe what I believe? Because each Sunday we say, I believe in one God. I profess one baptism. Do we really? Mm-hmm. Do we really? We say those words from memory, but do I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? Do I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? Do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Do I believe, et cetera, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And then toward the end of the creed, we say, I profess one baptism. So it's a time for us to give witness. And to do that, the next sentence simply in this 21st chapter of St. Luke says, remember, do not prepare for your defense beforehand. For I myself will give you a wisdom in speaking. Too often we pull out a book, we read a book, we use the book to do our defense, but how many times do we listen to the Holy Spirit inside? The other night I was giving an impromptu speech because somebody was late and they said, obviously the bishop would have something to say, you know, so I was given at least 5 minutes warning, so I got on the internet and looked up a couple of my favorite passages, you know, and I could see it myself, you know, I've given that same talk many times, but at a certain point I put it aside. You know, you just say, come, Holy Spirit. And it turned out beautiful. Not because I did it, but because we're not there just babbling off stuff. It's something that comes from our gut, from our heart, from what we really believe. And I think that's what Jesus is saying right here. Don't prepare yourself beforehand. Yes, you do some work, but mm-hmm. let the Holy Spirit do His part too.
We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
For over 50 years, Catholic Charities, often with the help of other agencies, has provided Christmas food baskets to area families and individuals in need. For most of that time, Toys for Tots has assisted with gifts for needy children in those families. Now through November 27th, Catholic Charities will accept applications from area residents for their legendary Christmas food baskets and toys through Toys for Tots. Bishop Mulvey will bless the people and baskets on Tuesday, December 17th, and distribution of the baskets will follow. To register your family, visit the offices of Catholic Charities, 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Certain documentation will be required to apply for Toys for Tots and Christmas food baskets through Catholic Charities. For more specific information, call 361-884-0651. Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, helping make Christmas a little merrier.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. We're going to continue our conversation of this gospel from St. Luke. Bishop, you mentioned before the break that there was a line in the gospel that said, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking. And you were talking about your experience when you were called at the last minute to give a speech and you started preparing and then you just said, come Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave you the words and it went very well. You know, but for some people that may not rely on the Holy Spirit or totally believe in the Holy Spirit, that can be a little scary thing. Or nebulous at best. Right. And you're thinking, what do you mean, call on the Holy Spirit?
And I think it's there's two things, I think, to it's not just, and I think some people do this, and it gets confusing to them and to others. It's just like, well, come Holy Spirit, and we just start talking. No. We have to know the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We have to know God, which means prayer. Mm-hmm. We have to spend time with the Holy Spirit, who is God. And so, you know, I think it was recently in something we read that the circumference of
The top of the tree
corresponds to the roots diameter.
Diameter. Of the roots.
Right. So the diameter of the root system corresponds to the diameter of the treetop. Mm-hmm. So, and that means that the more I'm in union with God and spend time in prayer, do spiritual reading, etc. In other words, I'm in tune with God. My heart is restless until it rests in you. So having that sense and spirit of God prepares us then to be able to put something like that aside and just speak. Now, again, I mentioned that those two passages that I was looking at, I'm very familiar with. I knew where to go on the internet to pick them up, mm-hmm. but I read them again. But so I know them. But if you're just sitting there reading them to people, you know, it becomes dry. So to prepare your testimony, what he's saying here, I want you to give testimony. You probably already know what I've said. Jesus would say that. He, you know what I've said. Don't just repeat it, but testify to it with the Holy Spirit.
Speak with your heart.
Speak with your heart. So let it be there. It's implanted in you. If it really is you, then you can speak with confidence. You can speak with faith. You can speak with a certain ardor. And that is what touches other people's lives. You really believe what you're saying. So again, we say, as a unified experience of the church every Sunday, we say the creed together. I do believe, but what I'm saying is that let that become part of me so that if I am hauled into court, I say, I do believe in God the Father Almighty, but it's coming from my heart, not from my head or from my lips only, but I do believe that. I mean, how many great saints have been martyred because they gave testimony to what they believed in? Amidst the adversity of so many things, maybe not the physical, natural adversities of earthquakes, but of real persecution. Mm-hmm. The Christian message will always be persecuted. I think this is something we don't realize. And in a certain sense, if I can say this boldly, if we're not, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. It is a countercultural message that Jesus brought us. He in his own time, that's why he was persecuted, that's why he was put to death, because it didn't sit well with, you could say, the establishment. Not that we want to uproot or overturn everything, but the truth is the truth. So how much do I really firmly believe that what I am professing in prayer, in creed, that I really believe? And so when Jesus is saying, you'll be led and you'll be to give testimony, don't just prepare yourself with the script. Mm-hmm. Prepare yourself with your heart. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of what you believe in and have the courage, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit, the courage, the wisdom to say what you really believe. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is saying here. The next part is simply, for I myself will give you the wisdom in speaking that your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. When God's word is truly spoken, and sometimes from the simplest of people, but because they allow the wisdom of God to be in them because of their firm faith and belief in that, there's no debate. When you testify, there's no who can refute my testimony. When I experience something, when I experience God, or when I experience the Word in my life, and I share that experience, how can you say that's not true? Well, it is true. Mm-hmm. So, what Jesus is saying here in the midst of all the calamities and all the things that we can see as signs that the end is coming and he's going to come back and wipe us all out. And I said, no, I mean, he wants us to be witnesses of his, even if it means death. That is what martyrdom is. It's not, you'll be hated because of my name, but not a hair of your head will be destroyed. This is probably something, especially at this time of year, as we look toward the Feast of Christ the King, as we look toward the end of things, as we do at this time of year in the gospel. But really, let that sink in. You know, am I a witness, or am I just a I don't know how to say it, just a follower? You know, mm-hmm. do I just follow, which is important? Mm-hmm. But in that following, is it truly because I'm a witness, because I want to be a witness no matter what of Jesus Christ, that it's a love for him and for his church?
Mm-hmm. And then at the very, that last
my favorite line.
Sentence, yeah, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives.
Right.
And there's in the Magnificat, there's a wonderful reading about that too. By your perseverance, yeah. you will secure your lives. Perseverance can be tough.
Yeah, that word is very important to me because when I was in the seminary, my grandmother's sister, I may have said this before, was a Poor Clare nun mm-hmm. for 55 years. She was a very talented woman. She could sing. She taught Latin. She, in the convent, they had to do many jobs. She said, I always wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to sing. She used to sing on the radio in Galveston. And she said, when I went to the convent, the cloister, I was the choir director. I was the infirmarian for a while for the sisters that were sick, and I taught Latin. So, I mean, she had everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I would write to her in the seminary, and she would always write back with the word perseverance, pray for perseverance, mm-hmm. pray for perseverance. And it stuck with me. But sometimes a word like that is more powerful than the reality of the moment.
Right.
It's a nice word. But then you move ahead in life. You move ahead, especially in your faith life and your Christian life, with the persecutions and the things that we read in the gospel today. And you realize the depth of that word. What does it mean to persevere? Perseverance, of course, we can see even in the simple dictionaries would just say, you know, amidst adversity, you keep going.
Like one step forward, two steps back.
Right. But I did take the liberty in preparing for this morning to look at some quotes from, I just put in perseverance quotes. And of course, the internet comes up with all sorts of things. But two of them struck me by a couple of people that we probably know their names anyway. And I'm sure they're motivational speakers. So it's coming more from a secular world. But even there, it can help us mm-hmm. to understand what Jesus is saying to persevere. And in persevering, you will save your life. And here's one from Julie Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Whom we all know.
Whom we all know. But she says, sometimes opportunities float right past your nose. Work hard, apply yourself, and be ready. When an opportunity comes, you can grab it. So even in terms of faith, you know, sometimes there's an opportunity like a retreat or perhaps, a homily that I tune out because I'm on my iPhone in the church, you know, playing a game while the word of God is being proclaimed. So work hard and apply yourself. Don't let those moments pass. That might be the last time you hear that certain gospel or something. So don't let it pass. Grab the moment and persevere in that. The second one that I found, and I think this one probably even more interesting for in the context of what we're talking about, is from Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you've already done.
Wow.
That's kind of a brain twister, but mm-hmm. let me just say it. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you've already done. In other words, you're never finished.
Keep on going.
And you have the perseverance, you have the desire, you have actually, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you're so tired, but there's something in you, you just want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You just push yourself to go. That's what faith is. Faith is about keep going, doing more. We never can believe enough. That's why the apostle said to Jesus, increase our faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, but increase it. You know, we need to have more faith as the world becomes more complex. There's nothing we can do to do that except to do what Jesus has asked us to do, and that is to love God and love our neighbor, to get out of ourselves, go beyond ourselves, and be truly who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ, to believe and to act in his name.
Thank you, Bishop. It's beautiful. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Grant us, we pray, Almighty God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you today and always in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.